those who trespass against us. You know, this story, the servant in Jesus' parable had no clue what the master had just done for him. He had canceled an enormous debt, hundreds of thousands of dollars, which he could never pay back in a lifetime. And the same servant could not cancel the minor debt of a slave. He totally missed the point, didn't he? As I ponder that, it's easy for me to take this stance and go, what was he thinking? But I wonder how many of us miss the point too. We've been forgiven an enormous debt through Christ's work on the cross, a debt that we could not possibly pay in a lifetime. Jesus has so graciously wiped our slate clean. As far as the east is to the west, so far have I removed your transgression from you. Do not treat you as your sins deserve. Such grace and mercy God has bestowed on us in Jesus. And yet, somebody could cross us, somebody could cut us off, somebody can harm us, steal from us, and boy, how quickly we forget to extend grace in the same way that we've received it. Jesus taught, unless we forgive others, our Father in heaven won't forgive us. And this, I need to be clear, Jesus isn't endorsing some kind of works faith. If you do this, God will do this. That's not what Jesus is getting at here. He's not threatening his children. He's not saying, if you don't clean your room, there's no dinner for you. There's no empty threat here. This is not a works-based faith. Now, this statement, what Jesus is getting at, he's pointing at the heart of the penitent person. I like how John Stott says it, and I want you to listen to this. God forgives only the penitent. And one of the chief evidences of true penitence is a forgiving spirit. See, what Jesus is saying here is this prayer is not just a bunch of words that I can just pray glibly with no heart and no remorse, and think that God's just going to... If that's the depth of what this prayer means for us, of course we will not know forgiveness for our fellow man. Because we haven't experienced it from our Father. But as we come and approach a gracious God out of a penitent heart, it's amazing how God begins to transform how we treat our fellow man. God forgives only the penitent. And one of the chief evidences of true penitence is a forgiving spirit. Never forget going to see Steve Masterson. He was the head of the counseling department at Providence College when I was a youth pastor in Winnipeg. I was working through my wounded story. So I went to him to try to work some of this out. And it's forgiveness is a process. And I was in the midst of that process. And I'll never forget the question he asked me and the prayer that he prayed for me. His first thing that he said after I shared my story and my struggle, and he probably said a number of things before this, but one of the things he said to me was this. He asked me, Darcy, do you have an unforgiving spirit? Wow, what a loaded question. It was a question that I needed to hear, even though it hit me like a ton of bricks. You see, I could no longer play the victim card. And he had empathy for my experience, but he was calling me to task for my stuff. He wasn't discounting or minimizing what I had experienced, but he was calling me to task. He was saying, unless you forgive from your heart, Darcy, you will begin to do the very things that wounded you as a kid. Do you have an unforgiving spirit? And then he prayed for me out of Hebrews. He prayed a prayer that God would take this bitter root that was in me and that God would pull it out, and that the bitterness in me would not take root, because really that bitterness had the power to defile many. It was a powerful, powerful encounter that I'll never forget. This counselor had the guts to say the hard word, and it was the very thing I needed to shake me up and to stir me out of my kind of victimized kind of mentality. And it's the same thing Jesus is saying here. He's saying a hard word, nudging us in the direction of true forgiveness, true receiving God's forgiveness so that we can forgive others. Jesus is calling us to do the work of forgiveness. Many of us are familiar with Peter's dialogue. I wonder what the situation was for Peter. Forgiving. How hard it was to forgive. How many times should I forgive, Jesus? Seven? No, 70 times seven. And I wonder how many of us actually realize there's context to this passage. Do you think Jesus just actually threw this number, grabbed it out of nowhere, 70 times seven? No. Actually, Jesus is referring to something from the Old Testament. Out of Genesis 4, there's a story from Cain. Cain is Adam and Eve's first son. Cain's great-great-great-grandson, Lamech, sings a song that ends with this phrase. Listen to this song. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. It's a song about revenge, taking revenge, resentment, unforgiveness. It's a song celebrating that. Jesus is referring to this passage. Why would he do that? Jesus is here saying, you know what happens when you embrace me as your king and you begin to live out a different set of kingdom values? You're going to trade in, you're going to substitute this attitude of revenge and resentment and taking revenge, and you're going to invite a new set of values to govern your life, which is forgiveness. It's such a kingdom statement. You're about holding grudges, but I'm calling you to something different. I think that's pretty powerful. I want to close with an exercise. And I had to work this through myself. You know, when I prepare a sermon and when I do something like this, this isn't just, I'm going to give this to you. If I'm not prepared to do the work myself in the quietness of my own office, I have no business asking you to do it. I found this to be one of the most profound experiences I've ever had around forgiveness. This isn't going to require you talking to anybody. This is just between you and the Lord. For some of you, you're going to need to maybe close your eyes so you can just be present to the presence of God and His voice to you. Do whatever you need to do to enter into this exercise. I encourage you to dive in. So it begins with this. I invite you right now to bring to mind the person that you are having a hard time forgiving. I invite you to tell the Father the person's name. And invite you to tell the Father exactly what this person did to you. Be honest. Be specific. Be ruthless. This is between you and the Father. He knows your heart. You can't hide this from Him. He knows it's there. He's inviting you to dialogue with Him. Explain to the Father what this person did to you. Be honest, specific, and ruthless. I'll give you a minute. This might be a person. This could be a group. Could be a corporation. It could be a government agency. Just encourage you to name it. Tell the Father what they did. Now tell the Father what you would like to see happen to this person. Don't be afraid. He knows what's in your heart regardless. Tell the Father how you want to see this person, this group, this agency punished. How you want them to pay for, shamed, hurt in the same way you were hurt. It's already in your heart. It's time you stop faking it. I encourage you to be honest. This is what you want done to this person. There's no room for being the good Christian in this exercise. Be honest. Now imagine standing at the bottom of the hill. On top of the hill is a cross, and Jesus is hanging there. He invites you to come up the hill, and as you come up and you approach Jesus, you're standing at the foot of the cross. He lifts his head and he looks at you. What do you want to say to him? More of what you've already told the Father? Look into his eyes. Maybe tell him how hard it is to forgive. What's going on in your spirit as you look at Jesus? What's the sense that you have as you sit at his feet? You feel his love? Do you have a sense of his forgiveness for you? And now, as an act of your will, go back down the hill and invite the person who hurt you to come back up the hill with you. Maybe you take them by the hand. Maybe not. You bring that person to the foot of the cross. Now you're both standing there looking at Jesus. And Jesus, you have his attention. He's looking at you. He's looking at this person. What does his face look like? And maybe you point to this individual. Maybe you put your arm around them. But you look to Jesus and you say, Jesus, please grant this person what you've granted me. This is an act of your will. You might not feel it right now, but this is an act of your will and obedience. Please grant this person what you've granted to me. No strings attached. Total forgiveness, grace, mercy. Maybe following your statement, you want to declare, I forgive so and so. And then I want you to hear Jesus say aloud to you, I will. Blessed are you. You are never more like me and my Father than when you forgive. Go in peace. I bless you. You are never more like me and my Father than when you forgive. Go in peace. What does it feel like as you walk? Do you feel like there's a burden that's been lifted? You feel like maybe there's something else, there's more. Maybe this is just the first layer of the onion. You need to know that Jesus is there waiting. Every time and whenever we're ready to forgive. Jesus, we thank you for the work that your Holy Spirit can do. Only your Holy Spirit can do. We thank you, Lord, for the desire that you have to heal our damaged emotions and our broken hearts. I thank you, Father, for extending to us incredible forgiveness. You didn't give us what we deserved. You gave us what we didn't deserve, grace and mercy. So, Lord, would you teach us, Lord, how to forgive in the same way we have been forgiven? And for those of us, Lord, who maybe forget the extent to which we have been forgiven and the actual work of your grace, that the only way that we can approach you and run to your arms to receive grace and mercy in our time of need is because of the work that you've done on the cross. So, Lord, remind us. We want to be people who love people well and love you well because we've been forgiven much. We thank you. Pray that you continue your good work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. I wonder if that was... I wonder how that was for you. And if you would like to talk more, I encourage you to come to the cross, to come and talk to me, talk to Linda, Claudia, any of those, your friends here. Let's continue to work this stuff out. And for me, this is a powerful process that I can begin to adopt and use in my own personal quiet time whenever necessary. So I will post this process on our website. So if you want to dive in deeper, it'll be made available to you. Before I give the benediction, and I just want to allow for kind of a quiet moment where if people do need to talk, you have freedom to do that. Many of you are familiar with Gracia Burnham. She was the author of that New York bestseller, Presence of My Enemies. She was that New Tribes missionary or international worker who worked in the Philippines, and her husband were abducted by Abu Sayyaf terrorists way back a good number of years ago. And it's her story, and it's a story of forgiveness. It's a powerful story. That's going to be at North Shore Alliance Church January 22nd, so next Sunday night from 7 to 9. So I encourage some of us are going to be driving in. You might want to be part of that. All right. So, my prayer for you as you leave today, that you would not feel under the weight of your sin, but you would feel the weight and the presence and power of God's grace and love for you. That you would know that you have been forgiven because of what Christ has done on the cross. That he does not treat you as your sins deserve. He does not condemn you. He does not point a finger at you or rub your nose in it. He delights in you. So may you know that today. And know the extent to which God has poured out his grace to you. And it's grace. Not deserved, but grace. Thanks everybody for coming. Again, feel free to come and talk if you need to talk. Joy box is in the back. The baskets are here. Please, before you leave, stack a chair. Hang out. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.